loving God, so full of grace. I give thanks to be able to share my words. I ask that these words come from my heart and come through you, and that all that I say is pleasing to you. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Worship every week is so important and enriching. But last Sunday was very special because it was Youth Sunday and the young people were all doing their own forms of ministry, and we had a wonderful reflection by Paul. And this week we had the baptism of Gavin McCauley. We have so much symbolism of God's presence in this place today. God is good. But I need to start by saying this is actually my second time in this pulpit. This in some ways is a poignant moment for me, and in other ways, a sure sign of grace of God at work for us, about us, and through us. The first time I was here was a little over a year ago. It was my mother's funeral. And as Mom would say, her boys were here. It was about 14 months ago. There are four of us boys, which I must say are all very different from each other. And for now, I'll just call us brothers A, B, C, and D to avoid a lot of trouble down the road. Growing up, Brother A was not very active. He could easily be found either in front of the television or being a voracious reader. That was it. Didn't like to play outside, didn't do a lot of things, didn't have much of a social life. Brother B, he was the gifted athlete of us four boys. He was never to be found near a library. He was always to be found around sports, dating, and social life. He was smack dab in the middle of the 60s and was not going to be worrying about being a role player in the establishment. Brother C, very easygoing brother. He was a somewhat above average student. He had somewhat of a social life, dated a little bit, liked everything, and he never seemed to get stressed about anything. And then there was Brother D, who always seemed to get into mischief, got caught no matter what he did, couldn't stand to stand in lines, and basically when he drove, it was to get from point A to point B was a mission. Now you can guess who D was. Me. When I said this at the 8 o'clock this morning, there was a person out there that I grew up with, her brother, so she knew before I got that point. I give this detail because it shows that my mother had four very different boys to raise, having her twin boys born when she had a four-year-old and a two-year-old already at home to tend for. And I must say she did a really good job, and she loved each and every one of her boys in their own special way. The three of us had decided to speak at the funeral. We did not share in any way what we wanted to say or what we wanted to do. This was a time for the three of us boys just to be ourselves in thought. And I must say we were all very different in the approach of what we had to say and share. So what I'm starting with here is that we were as different in our final words to our mother as we were through our lives. I am also sorry to say there was a disappointment that one of my brothers decided not to be part of the reception and the service, something that was not lost on my two brothers and myself. We talked about it for months. The following summer, about 7 months later, we decided we should all try for the first time to go out to that place that was my mother's favorite place and get all the boys and our grandbabies, as she would call them, out to the Rhode Island, Jamestown, Rhode Island, out to a place called Beaver Tail, where the water rushed over the rocks and the tides were so evident, a lighthouse at the point, a place where one might see a ship disappear from sight, and yet it's always greeted on the other side, where we cannot see, but there are those who were waiting. Truly a wonderful example of God's creation, and somehow at Beaver Tail, we found that one spot that we had never noticed in all the years that we'd been there, where we could all be together at the water's edge to spread some ashes. So we had prayer, We spoke of the living water, and they, each one of us, one after another, the grandkids and the brothers, we all said some words to Mom, standing in ankle-deep water and throwing in some ashes. The same brother that was not part of the funeral was not there with us. He decided he had his reasons why he could not come. Again, we all took notice, and we said to each other for the few days that we were together before we reached the water's edge, how disappointed we were that he did not come, and neither did his grown kids. Now, when it came time for me to stand into the water and share my words, God, I believe, tapped me on the shoulder and reminded me that Mom loved us all equally with our imperfections. So instead of sharing what I had thought I wanted to say, I looked up at Mom and said, Mom, you and I both know that Brother A is here with us in spirit, and I know he misses you as much as each of us. And I know that his love is known to you in your way, and so I spread these ashes in his thoughts and prayers. In Matthew, so when offering your gift at the altar, if you remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Today we had two very important, yet I will say challenging, scriptures. Paul's letter to the Corinthians and Matthew's gospel, which is a continuation of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Both are different from what we've been sharing these last weeks. In Paul's letter, he writes, "And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as a spiritual people, but rather people of the flesh, as infants of Christ." Why do you think he was writing this? He continues, "For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another to Apollo, are you merely human? I planted, Apollo watered, but God gave growth." Those whom Paul was writing were in their infancy of the Christian church formation, yet it seems they're already finding their mainline Christian leanings because they were always arguing and breaking into groups. They might as well have called their new churches the Church of Paul, the Church of Apollos, or the Church of Cephas. Paul was so disappointed because when he came to them, he came to preach the gospel of Christ, Christ that died for our sins on a cross, Christ crucified, and who identified with the human woundedness and reconciliation with God. Paul tried hard to teach that Christ not only cared and identified with our loneliness, yet he also carried our wounds so that we would know the healing love that God has for each and every one of us. And the Matthew Gospel. Ooh, that was a tough one today. This was a rough gospel compared to what we normally hear on Sundays. Part of it said, Jesus said, you have heard it said, and you shall not commit murder, but I say to you. You have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you. You shall not divorce, but I say to you. And in ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but I say to you. Each time he was going to go on to explain further what was meant. Jesus, who was this Jesus up on the mountain? This is so different from what we normally hear in the Gospels. We need to remember that Matthew was Jewish, and he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Yet he was, as was Jesus, true to the teaching and Mosaic laws, being careful not to throw out the laws as passed down from God and through Moses. Yet to help clarify the law and God, Matthew was so rooted in his Jewish upbringing that he would not even say the word God. And if you read his Gospels, you will see that he refers to the kingdom of heaven about 35 times, where Luke and Mark will always say the kingdom of God. And Jesus needed to assure that he was not trying to separate people from God and their faith, that he was not throwing out all that had been instructed to believe. Yet he wanted to bring more insight into the love of his Father for us and for all. He wanted us to understand we must rid ourselves of any part that separates us from building a relationship with others in their daily life. First and foremost, we are taught to love one another, to forgive others, to reconcile our differences, and to really see the face of Jesus in all that we deal with. Think just for a moment about the wonder of what really takes place each and every week we come together in worship. To quote something that I had read in preparation for the homily, it said, "The practice of Holy Communion is simply making holy that which is common. In other words, we offer to God the totality of our lives, the darkness and the light, and it is blessed as holy and returned to us as the presence of the living Christ. We symbolize this in the gifts of bread and wine. Thus it is Christ working through us that eventually makes reconciliation possible. We stand together in our worship at the altar rail, shoulder to shoulder, all with the same purpose, all here to worship, to hear God's word, and to share in the Eucharist. We are not aware of our differences while we're here. We're not aware of any ill feelings or any divisions that we might have while we are in this sanctuary. This is probably the only time during the week that we could make such a statement. And the beauty of it is that we do not come here to prepare to be as one. It happens without our involvement through the grace of God, where we all agree to be fed with the word and the sacraments. The Eucharist feeds us such that we are all nourished and can go out into the world with renewed strength. In our responses to during the baptism of Gavin this morning, we will all answer with a very important phrase, "with God's help." We cannot do it on our own. We need to allow God to be part of our lives. In the beginning of the homily, I said there is such symbolism of God's presence in this place. We will look at the font, which will soon be filled. And in your bulletins is written today, during the baptism, we will bless the water in the font to receive Gavin McCauley, our newest member. All are invited to partake in the custom of intinction and making the sign of a cross with holy water. This may be done when coming to the altar rail for communion or your pews. This is a spiritually enriching ancient ritual. Making the sign of the cross is an ancient body prayer that professes belief in the hope and redeeming love of God, and is done with the five fingers together, representing the five wounds of Christ, raised to the forehead, then to the navel, then to the left and right shoulders, and finally back to the heart. Standing there tall is the Paschal candle. It's the flame of the Paschal candle represents Christ as the light of the world and his presence being in the midst of us at all times. The Paschal candle is sometimes referred to as the Christ candle or the Easter candle. The tall white candle in many ways signifies the divine pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night spoken for in earlier scriptures. And this morning we will light a small candle and give it to Gavin as part of his baptism. And that candle will be lit from the Paschal candle. When you came in this morning, each of you were offered to take a stone. A stone I assume many of you are either holding or is close by. I suggest to you that these stones represent an obstacle in your life, perhaps keeping you from reconciliation with someone, a burden that you need to have lifted, a sadness that needs to be healed, a weight that you need removed for any reason. Or perhaps this stone can represent a blessing that's in your life, the blessing of a baptism, the blessings of your family, of a job, of an event that soon happened, of the recovery from an illness. There are so many blessings in your life. So that I ask that you all take this stone, use this stone as you feel God is speaking to you today. bring your stone, your burden, or your blessing, and leave it at the altar when you come to receive communion. Leave it to allow God the Father to take that burden away from you, or leave it to show the blessing that you have, and leave it as a thanksgiving to God. And finally, as you walk to the altar today, or as you are leaving the sanctuary, know that all are invited to partake in the custom of intinction and making the cross with the holy water. This water will be blessed during the baptism, and I invite you all to please do so. So as we share in this wonderful worship today, may we all know that as we leave this place today, our worship will have ended and our service is to begin. So may I hear all of God's people say, Amen.